We're going to do a series on, essentially just on what's the Bible say about mental health. It's just a big word today. Everybody is talking about it. I think there's things in our world like the increase of, you know, when the internet came along and then social media got big, it magnified the issue. And then we entered into a season of COVID when that hit, and our country was not used to that. And so it literally left people really separated from others. Social interaction got, less and less. And so they say that there's been like a 25% increase in people's mental health since those days. But let me tell you something. I believe in my heart, what it really did is people are like, oh my gosh, and now look, it hit the gas pedal on mental problems out there. Guys, it really honestly didn't probably hit the gas pedal as much as it revealed what was already there. That's what social media has really done. Everybody now, we got cameras on our phones, so it looks like our world's falling apart. No, it's just that around every corner, somebody's got a camera recording it. It's always been that wicked. It's always been that rough out there. And so basically I would ask that you would, just open yourselves up for what God's word would have to say about the subject. I think everybody in here knows me. You know me. And, I come from a family of difficulty and, problems. I think every family has a horse thief in it, and every family has somebody in it that struggles with mental illness. It's just the facts. That's how it works. You know why? Because we are humans. And we are humans, and that's just the bottom line. So I have trouble. We have history. I've got all kinds of different areas of mental illness, actually, even in my family. So I don't want you to think at all that I'm up here. I'm not beating anybody up. And not the Bible's going to slap somebody, because the Bible can slap them. I just want to make sure I'm not the guy doing that. And I want you to know, I believe in my heart that life is hard. And honestly, I can't believe there's not even more people that are coming out and admitting some of their difficulty and some of their problems. And I'm not a guy. The bottom line is, what you're going to get from me is this. I'm not a doctor. There's things I do not know. You can talk about chemical imbalances in people's lives. Some people talk about the choices they make. Some people want to blame everything on the brain. And I don't believe the Bible says that's accurate. Some people would want to blame everything and say that it's a genetic factor. And I would just say, not always, but yes, there is a genetic fact. You know, depending on what kind of DNA you got and who you are. You know, you ever meet somebody that's like incredibly disciplined? I hate those people's guts. You know, because a lot of us don't have that. We struggle with things. Like, why don't she struggle with that? Well, let me tell you, it's hardwired into them genetically, even from birth, that, you know, and they've even proven that, you know, if you have addictive parents and your parents were drug addicts and alcoholics, man, there's just a great chance that even genetically, you got that bug in you, man. And then also, environmental factors, that if you're around that type of thing, it does play an effect on that. So please don't think that I'm not a compassionate man on this subject or on people. I think, you know, but when you look at mental illness, out there, I think nobody could deny that we are living in chaos. It's chaos on every front that you look. And it starts with every individual, right? God started this thing off with a man in a garden and had a relationship with him. When sin entered in, man, that thing busted up. He put a woman in there for them to do a mission together. And then all of a sudden, man, when things went wild and sin entered in, and God just says, okay, you don't get the garden anymore, and they got the boot. You just can't deny that there began what was once in order is now nothing but chaos. And so I'm not a guy that blames, I don't blame the brain, because that's what everybody wants to do. And let me tell you, gang, I believe this in my heart. I believe that a lot of people like to blame the brain. They like to blame the brain and its issues and totally just want to focus on genetic things. And here's why. Because people that struggle with mental problems, it's difficult. It's hard, man.
There's people that struggle getting out of bed in the morning. And they struggle so bad. And so if we're able somehow to just blame the brain and this is just who I am, then it takes the responsibility of making some right choices in your life off. And we got to be careful of that. Even though, let me tell you something, there's people out there that definitely, you know, struggle more than others. And especially, guys, there's, you know, I think we all know people, and some of you even in this room, people when their lives get so dark, they get to the point where they want to just end their life. And that ain't no joke. It happens a lot to people. People really struggle. They really live in darkness inside of their head and inside of their hearts and inside of their lives. And they get to the point where they just want to end it all. Can you imagine without the gospel and without the Lord Jesus Christ wanting to escape a life of hell, to take your life and to end up in a real hell without a savior? You know, the gospel's called the good news. You know why it's called the good news? Because life is riddled with bad. That's why. So I am going to propose a few ideas, and I'm going to take you right to scripture on this thing. And I hope you would just look at it and you would be like, my gosh, man, that's some good stuff. The bottom line is my goal in this series is not to educate people on mental illness. I read a lot on it. I listen to a lot of podcasts on it just because I'm in the people business. So that's what you're definitely going to get. But what's happened is through history is the brain sciences have grown. You know, we got a lot of smart people out there and they've studied human beings for years. And so what's happened is the brain sciences, people are just really, they're infatuated with it. But I'm going to propose to you something that most people, like, they're going to look at a simpleton like me and say, what do you know? I know the Bible. And I know God. I know the creator of it all, and I know his word. And I'm going to propose to you that all brain sciences will fall under this book. The problem is people put that stuff over. They want to take the Bible and say, oh, the Bible's authoritative when it comes to spiritual matters. But brain sciences are authoritative when it comes to the brain. And I think I can prove with scripture that's false. It's not true. So what we've done is we've become, as a society, we have elevated education, and like we've convinced people that the knowing, and now that we know more and understand more, like that we got a handle on this. Statistics prove that is false. More than ever, we think we have more answers and we got a handle on something. And matter of fact, if you look at the gap for people that struggle really hard with mental difficulties and problems, the gap for treatment is very, very wide. It's a Grand Canyon. They've even proven that they can not only adequately treat people like they should with mental problems, but oftentimes the quality of treatment is even very poor. And guys, I think we know this. When you get into a situation like that, I think of being a school teacher in a room with especially lower income families, a lot of struggling children, and you got a room of 20 children, and there's a lot of mental and behavior difficulties in that room. If you're going to get anything done, you can see sometimes where an easy solution would be medication. That way we can get something done. And guys, and I'll be straight with you on this. I've preached this many times. People always twist my words, but that's what happens when you speak for a living. They twist what you say. And I am not against that at all. I've got people in our family. I personally know that, you know, people that need it. And let me tell you this much. Let me just give you something super practical on the thing. I think a lot of people need help. I think majority of people really need some help, and they're struggling up here and they're struggling in here. And sometimes I don't like the fact that pills are just being thrown at these people. The rest of their life, they're going to depend on a system and a doctor and insurance and medication. But the alternative would be that they would take their life. I would say, pull out the pills, man. You can't help dead people, man. And so I just want you to know that. I am a fan
of seeking the Creator. I'm a fan of going to God's Word. I'm a fan of doing everything it says. And I think we should do that first. Seek God's kingdom first. So just to let you know that, because I know there's people out there, and God bless you, man, you've done everything you can, and you're like, my gosh, I find myself on the edge all the time. I'm still struggling, and you're seeking help. And I just want to say, God bless you, man. I hope you keep seeking the face of the Lord, and that He gives you the help and the care that you need. But I'm going to propose something a little deeper on this. Matter of fact, if you want to, open your Bible to Psalms 111. Psalms 111, look at verse 10. Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. The Bible says the very beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It words it a little differently if you want to flip over to the next book of the Bible in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1:7 says a very similar thing, and it just says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So I just want you to know something. It's the fear of God. It's what this book says. And the fear of the Lord's the beginning of knowledge. So if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you know what the Bible says? You don't know anything. That's what the Bible says. You don't know anything. You don't have it down. You don't have it figured out. You're missing the beginning. And you know how it is, shooting arrows, right, gang? Anybody here that's ever shot bullets or guns or shot a bow and arrow, I'm on that wall right there, and you put up a bullseye, and I pull my arrow back, and I'm like, oh, I didn't quite hit the red, but I hit just the outside ring. That's good enough. That would get a deer. Okay, it would get a deer if I was, you know, 10 feet away, 15 feet away. What happens if I shoot that same aim and everything, but I'm now at this wall, and I'm shooting that wall? Now all of a sudden, guess what? I'm not close to the red. I'm another inch out. And the further you go back, and eventually I am not going to hit the board. I'm not even going to hit the paper. I'm not even going to hit the target, let alone hit the bullseye. This is how it is with God's Word. Is we can't be off at the beginning. The Bible says it's the fear of the Lord's at the beginning. We've got to fear God, trust Him, and trust His Word. It's the only thing the Bible says that will truly bring order in the midst of chaos. It's the only thing that's lasting. It's just true. Now we're Bible believers. So, and some people will just say, dude, I feel like you're a simpleton. And I would say, I will not disagree with you. I do not want to sit around and argue with people. And there's people that know a lot of terms and bigger things than I do. But I'm here to tell you, what I want to do is I want to give you the Word today, man. Here's what I want to say. What does the Bible say? That's what I want to be known for. What's the Bible say? Hey, how does God see this? Hey, you want to talk about sex? What's the Bible say about it? We just had a marriage. Money? You want to talk about money? What's the Bible? What about the economy? What's the Bible say about that? Politics? What's the Bible say about that? We go to God's Word for everything. All knowledge and all wisdom starts with the fear of God. Listen to me on this one. Here it is, and here's where our church stands on this. Everything in life should come under the authority of this book. That's it. So I don't care today if I'm speaking on mental health or if I'm speaking on, being a business owner. You know, I'm speaking on money. Everything falls under the authority of this book. And this is why God has given it to us. Did you know years ago, the Bible, it used to be the Bible in our economy, right? In our culture was spoken more. It was used more. And you know, now people are like, yeah, let's get the Ten Commandments removed off of the stairs of the White House. You know, in the courthouse hangs that, get that removed. You know, everybody like wants to remove the Bible. And yet you look at society and culture like, man, things ain't going so good here. You know, so the Bible has really though lost a functional authority in our culture. And the sciences and, you know, the biological sciences have really kind of taken over, and people want to go here. We'll let the smart ladies, we'll let the smart guys tell us what to do. You know, some of the reason why for this type of thing, you know, in the 1800s, cholera, there was the epidemic broke out, right? And people were dying like crazy. Did you know back in the 1800s, the church was considered authoritative advisor, a real interpreter on this subject and this issue? The church came with simple and very honestly incomplete explanations. They just defaulted to some simple things like saying that we just believe that this is God's retribution against sin. That was the simple answer they was giving for that. And then they would even just say, one of the reasons they could even prove that is cholera, mainly it affected lower class people. So even in larger congregations, it was lower class people that were getting sick and dying of this, and upper and middle and upper class people, not so much. And so they're just like, yeah, them people, it's all the bad decisions they're making in their life, that type of thing. But it was through that, like, culture's watching this and watching what the church did during that time. And, you know, just blurting out, like, you know, simple things like that, that people started looking at the church. And honestly, the church just kind of became not relevant anymore. And that's the problem we're having today in culture. The church is not relevant anymore. It's like people have think the Bible and the church is defeated, but I'm here to tell you, and with this little series, I hope I can do this, that I can exalt his word above his very name, that the Bible has not been defeated in culture to just become irrelevant. And I just want to make it relevant again. That's all I want to do. I think that's all of our problems can be explained. We can go to this book. You don't need to know brain chemistry and physics. I remember back when I became a Bible student, I was a little bit intimidated because I thought, yeah, I probably will be faced with some Greek and Hebrew, you know, and I didn't do very good with English in school. And so I'm like, man, this is not going to go very well. You know, and I'm so glad God put me in a place where they're like, man, God's given you a Bible you can trust in English. I mean, Greek and Hebrew can help you if you want to study or maybe go a little deeper on some subjects, but most people don't know Greek and Hebrew. It's actually dead languages right now. So to learn that, that's not it. And guys up there will get fancy and say things and be able to spin people's heads up. But the Bible gave us, God gave us this Bible just so we could understand it in English. It is pretty simple. I'm amazed at how simple the Bible is. And so I just think it's the same way with the subject. I think the subject's a little more simple than we like to talk about, and I think the Bible's more relevant than we give it credit for. And so the problem is, you know, you got a lady that's depressed, and she comes talks to somebody at the church, right? So you're like, oh my gosh, this lady's in deep trouble. So there's no real solutions. We start meeting with her, things start happening, things are going really slow, and then one of her neighbors just says, hey, have you ever tried this? She's like, what is that? It's just a simple, small antidepressant. And she pops that pill, and she discovers very quickly it helped. That's the discovery she comes to. And now all of a sudden the leapfrog becomes that now medicine in the brain science is more of an authority and is better than this book. You know, they've proven men that struggle with sexual addiction and pornography, they've proven something simple as their strong drive and interest in this addiction they've created, if they would just get on Prozac, that helps. It tames the desires down. And so, and it's true, guys, anybody, and let's just be honest, you know, anybody even chooses anything, like, you know, why would you do some of those type of things? And you take them because you find relief, for sure. You find help, like, sometimes immediately. You're like, wow, that's the answer. And gang, I'm just here to tell you, I think short term it's going to give you some relief. But I think it's a far stretch from saying it's your life answer on the subject that you're wrestling with, right? So I believe that a man that has a sin addiction, for instance, like pornography, there's meds you can give him to help him, to get him off this path of maybe desiring eating that. But you know what I believe comes in front of that? Who is preaching the gospel? Who is preaching the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the Bible from the beginning of time has proven something's wrong with human beings. Something's wrong, and what is that? And then every human being, they'll go through some weird thing and they'll just say,
Well, my case is different. You know, everybody likes to do that, especially when you're struggling. Like, I'm different, and they put them out. And the Bible, you know what the Bible does? The Bible levels that out and says you're not as different as you think you are. The Bible says there's a lot of things that are common to men, and it's difficulty. And some might stress out and be freaked out a little bit more than others. But I'm just telling you that a lot of these problems are more common than people really want to realize. I was reading this week on the World Health Organization, their website, and check this out. They now classify video game addiction. It's an official mental disorder. You know, they give names to anything they can, and they put it under, you know, all this type of business. And they suggest that there's a growing understanding of how seriously technology can affect our mental health. And I swallow some of that. I really do. Hey, let me give you some headlines. I looked up some headlines this week. These are all headlines in the last couple years that you have found from just famous, printed pages out there, like The Guardian. Here's their stress in social media, full mental health crisis among girls. True. Forbes, you know what Forbes put out? Chronic loneliness is a modern day epidemic. That's just the title of an article. Sky News put this out. You get on the airplane, you open it up, and it says, Facebook may make you miserable, says Facebook. Nice. There's a steep rise in self-harm among teenagers. That's just from BBC. The Australian says this, workplace stress affects 73% of employees. Just like, that's funny. Bible believers, we're going to be like, yeah, it's called work, you know, but The Guardian, here's another article. They had stark rise in eating disorders blamed on overexposure to celebrities' bodies. Like social media has left this comparison game, and so you get freaked out by it. New York Times, suicide on campuses and the pressure of perfection. New Zealand had an article, and they said the workplace stress rising sharply. You know, and just, you know, will robots take our children's jobs? Stress and hostility is rising in American high schools in the Trump era. You know, that's the Washington Post. Of course, they want to blame Trump. And I got news for you. He ain't to blame. We had a lot of issues for that guy. He was ever even born, right? And we'll take you there in a second. So, guys, it goes on and on. I just read you half the articles that I looked up. I was like, isn't this crazy? Social media has really revealed to us it's exposed. It's put it out there more to show that, man, people are crazy. You know, okay, maybe I shouldn't say that's kind of judgmental. We're crazy. We are crazy. We don't think correctly. You want to hear something really funny? Back in the 15th century, true story. There was a French convent in the 15th century, and there was a nun that was there. And, you know, they have to go through times of solitude and no talking. And they do this sometimes for days on end. So this one particular lady, you know, some people would whistle while they work. This lady started meowing. Like, you know, she likes cats. And so they would just look it over, and she's like doing her thing over there, and she's meowing like a cat. And it's funny because other nuns, they started doing it too. So in this convent, pretty large convent, back and forth, there was times a day where you just hear a bunch of meowing, and it was these nuns that were trying to take a vow of like silence to not talk, and yet they were meowing like cats. The nearby villagers started hearing this more frequently, and it got louder and louder. You know, they finally went to the authorities. They said, you know, there's several hours in every day where it's like a cat chorus over there at that convent. And the authorities had to come in. They pulled in this convent, pulled all the ladies together, and they just said, and it's the 15th century, so they could get away with it. They said, we get one more call of a bunch of women meowing, and we're coming in and we're going to whip all of you. You're getting whipped. And that day, there was no more meowing. Maybe an extreme story, but I'm like, we are crazy. We are crazy, isn't it? The things we do, it's funny to me watching older people laugh at all of these younger people on social media and blaming them like they're, you know, freakos or something. You just got to give them a year or two. Older people are just slower. And then you'll catch on. And before you know it, you're in the house thinking TikTok was once stupid and you're frustrated now because you're, you know, what's going on here? How do I do this? I need to share this. I want to try to get you guys, you know, and then all of a sudden you're just slow. That's all there is to it, right? So, hey, we are crazy. The Bible says that. Let me show you something. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. It says in Genesis chapter 1, it says this in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And verse 2 says, and the earth was what? Without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we know this. If you've been around this church for a while, you know that something's weird here. Because it says in verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes and says that the earth was without form, void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. God doesn't create things that are void. It's not how he creates darkness on the face of the deep. So basically what we believe is there's some event that happened between verses 1 and 2. And what's commonly, and I'm not going to preach this whole thing today, but what happened is it's in them verses where we believe was the fall of Satan. It was the fall of Lucifer. He was a covering cherub up in the heavens. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14 is the top verses. We like to prove that and go there and look at that. And what happened is there was four cherubs around God's throne, these beautiful beasts that praised, loved, glorified, worshiped the Lord, elders up in heaven. God had the whole system set up. And then there was a fifth cherub over the throne of God covering him. He had four faces, different faces, big breastplate of jewels, big winged creatures, giving God glory. But God's light was radiating off of their jewels and off of their breastplate. And so what happened one day in Isaiah 14, the Bible says that Satan looked at himself and was just like, you know what? I mean, I don't know how beautiful this light would be without the jewels that I'm bringing to it and wearing. So he said this, I will exalt myself above the Most High. So here God, the originator, the creator of it all, is in the heavens. And Lucifer, his name means light bearer. It was his responsibility to bear the light. But he wasn't the light. He was just bearing witness of it. He was supposed to shine the light. That wasn't enough. He wanted to be the light. So he basically said, I'll exalt myself above the Most High. And at this point, God removed him from being a cherub. He lost his name, Lucifer. Now got the name Satan and devil in the Bible, all associated with death. And the Bible says God kicked him out of his position and kicked him out of heaven. His stance was so strong and his beauty was so great that the Bible says one third of the angels fell with him. So now Lucifer gets kicked out of heaven and all of a sudden, the Bible teaches in Ezekiel that he was actually a king over Eden and on the earth. And all of a sudden, because of that, the earth plummeted into water. It's the first chaotic flood you find in Scripture. Noah's not the first flood in the Bible. There was a flood that happened way before that a lot of people don't teach about that, but it's just true. So that's why we find ourselves saying, hey, God started this whole thing. And then verse 2 says, but the earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. And God's Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. So the earth is now in water, or it's under judgment. And the Bible says Lucifer is kicked out, but he's got a third of his angels. So guys, now we got forces. We got the force of good, the force of evil. This is how it all starts. And so I want you to know God, in the beginning, God created the heaven, the earth. And listen, it was perfect and it was orderly. When somebody overstepped their bounds and wanted to be bigger than they really are. I don't want to bear the light. I am the light. You want to exalt yourself above God. Then here's what happens to you. Chaos. Now, without form, it's void. That's like emptiness and darkness. That's exactly what happens to anybody, any being, including humans, that wants to exalt yourself against God. Anybody that wants to go against this book, here's your life. It'll be empty, it'll be void, and darkness will be upon the face of your life. It's this way. That's just the beginning. And matter of fact, let me prove it to you again. Then here's what happened. God comes down, clears the waters, and says, that's it. He takes dirt together and makes a human being, which is pretty incredible. He takes a human being out of dirt. And that guys, if God made you and me out of a pile of dirt, I'm just here to tell you, I don't care what issue you're facing today. He's the answer. You're not in trouble. I know you feel like you're in deep and all. God does his best work in the darkest of the night, man. So I just want to encourage you at this. And some of you, and I don't want you to sit there feeling guilty like, man, I feel guilty because I do take a pill for this, I take a pill for that. Hey, God knows your heart. It's your business and your life. He wants to walk with you. Yeah, he wants to give you the word, and he's going to give you a real purpose in your life. I've seen people, you know, and guys, I'll be straight. My grandfather was an alcoholic. He came to church and met Jesus Christ and never drank a drop as the rest of his life. He never touched it. I've seen other people that have a different story. They meet Jesus Christ and get victory over alcohol for 3 days. Then they start drinking again. Like, well, maybe I'm not saved. No, I just need to make better decisions. And then they get some help, and all of a sudden they're sober for a year. And then a year later, like, oh my gosh, I fell off the wagon, you know. That's at the Warren County Jail. It's at the point now where, like, there'll be a cell cleared out. And then the next week we go in, and it's terrible. I hate when you can walk in and you just be like, hey, Bob. He's like, hey, guys, I'm here again. I'm like, yeah, we're here again, too. We're just on the other side of the bars. You start knowing guys by first name because, what, they're caught. They get clean. Man, I was doing so good, man. I got a job and everything, man. I wasn't even using anymore. You know what happened? I caught an old charge. Here's what, they always got a story to tell you. I'm just here to say, hey, guys, I know why you're here again. You don't have to explain to me anything. You're on a merry-go-round. We're human beings. You're going to come back to the same spot. Struggle will always come back to you. It does to all of us. That's what happens. You just haven't found the solution yet. But here we are today. Are you ready? Open up your Bibles. And that's what we do. They open the Bible, and all of a sudden they're like, man, thanks for coming, man. It's a, yeah, you know why we're what we're doing there? We're shining the light, man. In the darkness, we're just shining light. And they see it, and there's something about it. They're like, I like that. Why are they attracted to that? I'll tell you why. The Bible says God does put their law deep inside of them, the book of Romans says. They know when they hear truth, it resonates with them. Now, the difficulty of obeying the Bible is a whole nother story. But I'm here to tell you, some people have complete victory over things instantly, and some people, the rest of their life. It always breaks my heart because, you know, my daughter struggled with leukemia for just years, 2.5 years total, her treatment was. And you know what's sad now is she limps. She's got no cartilage in some of her joints. It's awful. And guys, here's the reality of it. And I hate even saying this. I hate thinking about it because it puts a lump in my throat usually when I do. She's going to struggle the rest of her life with something. We rejoice it's not cancer. That's gone. She knows that. We talk about it all the time. She'll never run again. Well, I say that. There could be a miracle that takes place there. But it's just the truth, isn't it? And so this is life for us. And some people meet Jesus Christ and are like, why am I still? Well, I got news for you. You thought you were happy when you were married to her or you were married to him. And then when that broke off, do you remember when you thought your life was going to end? How am I going to make it? What am I going to tell my kids? And you figure out what to say. You get by. You get a raise at work, and all of a sudden 2 years go by, and you meet another girl, and you forget it. You get through. We're, as human beings, we're pretty resilient, but we're not very bright. Because we can get through and push through, but it takes a lot. It takes an illumination from the creator of the universe to enter into our chaos and say, here's what order looks like. You know, there's order in the heavenlies. That's why God had to kick Lucifer out. Anything rebellious against the thinking of God, God's like, is that how it's going to work? You're going to exalt yours? He literally's like, I'm going to exalt my throne above the Most High. And God's like, all right, dude, done. A third of the angels were sucked into it. And it was that quick. God's like, it don't work that way here. That's what, you know, we know stuff about God in the Bible. And he just says, I got news for you. I'm not competing with any other God. I'm jealous. Yeah, you're not going to put anything before me. And when you do, you know what it's going to do? Yeah, it looks like an iguana right now, but wait till it becomes the Komodo dragon. Wait till it bites you and like, oh, that's what happens. It didn't mean to bite me. I like when people do that, you know. Their hands all mangled up. They're like, it was my fault. He was eating and I got in there. I got news for you. Dude, that snake wants to eat you. That's all it knows. All right, people, you ever see people pet their pet snake? I'm like, that guy is not right in the head. Like, oh, he enjoys that? You think he really enjoys that? Then stick your hand in there and see. And that's what happens. That's why a good guy just reaches his hand, their snake will bite him, and that's how he pulls him out. Ah, isn't it nice? Blood going down his arm, and he thinks that's cool. I got news for you, dude. You're not very smart. You're just not very smart. Anybody that exalts itself against God is going to pay an incredible price. Go to Genesis chapter 1. You know, God in Genesis 1, he gave man a commission. He told him in verse 28, he created him in his image in verse 27 and said, be fruitful, multiply, right? So then we go to Genesis chapter 2. You get to chapter 2 and it says this, verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. And God made a helpmeet for him. And see, out of the ground, God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. It's very orderly, right? At this point in the Bible, there's no sin on the planet. And then Adam gave names to all the cattle, right? And then verse 21, watch this. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept. He took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken for man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, notice blood's not mentioned. There's a reason for that. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked. The man and his wife were not ashamed. First, man and woman, right? Man and woman, God put them together. Chapter 1, he says, I got a commission. I got a purpose for you to live for. And guys, and the purpose was to be fruitful, multiply. And see, Adam was the son of God. The Bible says this in Luke. So the goal was that they could procreate sons of God. They could procreate children that were going to grow up and praise, love, and worship God. And here's why. Because the order in the heavenlies was, with all the angelic beings and all these cherubims, the 24 elders, the whole setup up there, the angelic host, all that setup in there, when one third of the angels fell, now there was an empty spot, it needed filled. So God on planet Earth, out of dirt, made people like you and me, and God said, now I want you to reproduce sons of God. So what they were actually doing, they had a mission, because there was good and there was evil and they were against each other, and they were supposed to produce and make sons of God to replace what was now missing in the heavenlies. That's the big picture of this thing. And so here they are in Genesis chapter 2, and he says, man, and like, life's good. I mean, they were even naked and not ashamed. Like, because, you know, the innocence of a child, that's the way I like to think of the nakedness, too, is innocent. This is a good thing. It's orderly. They're in this beautiful, perfect garden. They're in a perfect environment. Their genetics are perfect. Absolutely perfect. Then chapter 3 kicks in, and it says, now the serpent. He's called the serpent here. He used to be called Lucifer. But now he's a creep, man. He's going to take things down with him. He's all about destruction. Anything God says, he's going to rebel against it. That's what he's going to do. He wants to exalt himself above God. So now he's got an army of one third of the angels. He sees these human beings and he finds this opportunity. He goes back in the Garden of Eden and it says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He's very subtle. Keep that in mind. Guys, we get on this area of like mental health. It can be a slippery slope. And don't fool yourself. The enemy is still smooth. So smooth. He'll sell you on a bill of goods and you will temporarily be like, I've got it. I'm happy. And people don't weigh the long-term consequences of those decisions. And all of a sudden what they thought was freedom in their life down the road ends up being, my gosh, I'm like in jail. You're totally in jail. He's subtle, man. So he comes down, and look what he said. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So the first words he speaks
are God's words. But notice what he does. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, if you go back to chapter 2, look at verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So when Satan comes along and quotes what God says, he removed a word. And notice the word missing there is the word freely. So immediately he misquotes God. He says, ye shall not eat of the tree, of every tree of the garden. He takes one word out, misquotes what God says, take the word free out, because that's what he likes to do. He's always liked to do this. And you'll find out from the Bible, from the beginning here, and then it'll go, wait till you see what their kids do. It's the same thing. You'll end up with two, there's basically, you earn your way to God, or God comes to you. There's the difference. There's grace or there's works. That's how it always works in the Bible. There's two perspectives here. Like, you can really be good enough and accomplish this and conquer this on your own, or you need help. And God, with his mercy and grace, is going to come down and deliver you. There's really one or the other. You are going to be like the savior and the hero in this. Or you're going to find yourself in a needy spot and cry out to the Creator and say, I can't fix this. Something's wrong here. There's a difference. And you can, and I think both sides can find some victory, at least temporarily, for sure. But he said unto the woman, yea, if God said you should not eat of every tree of the garden. And so the woman says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Like she's quote, she says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The problem with man here, the problem with, when I say man, you know what I mean, human. The problem with the woman here is she spoke and she said, man, God said we can eat of everything. He just says we can eat it. And then she said, ye shall not eat of the bad one, and ye shall neither shall ye touch it. She added that in. God, you'll find out that God never said that part. But she added that. Human beings tend to do that. We tend to add to what God said. And I'm here to tell you, the Bible's a very simple book. We mess it up when we put our two cents in it. Every time. And do yourself a favor. Buy yourself a commentary. I got a whole slug of them in there. And I'm amazed how many passages of scripture I go to and I get done reading 10 pages on words. I'm like, this guy is full of himself and he don't know what he's talking about. A lot of big words in there, but no sense at all, right? And so this is what human beings do. They tend to add to what God said. The enemy removed. Look at verse 4. And the serpent said to the woman, hey, ye shall not surely die. Okay, God clearly said something to her. He's subtle in getting in there, misquotes God, and now he's bold enough to say, it's not true. Do you see what he said there? You won't die. No, God says you don't eat it or touch it, or you'll surely die. He says, you won't die. Now he's bold enough just to say, no way, man. Verse 5, and God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I don't know if you realize this, but he's subtly selling Eve something that he did up in the heavenlies. When he looked and he just says, you know, I'll exalt my throne above the Most High. Like, I don't want to just bear witness of this light. I want to be the light. And now all of a sudden he's selling it to a human being. He's like, oh, God knows if you take that, you know, you'll be like him. He's holding back on you. That's the deal. He convinces her like, come on, you're smarter than that. Almost like you can be a God. You can be in charge. And so she does it. And it says in verse 6, when the woman saw the tree was good for food and that the tree was pleasant to the eyes, tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And he just joined right in there. This is verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open. Boy, he was right about that. Their eyes opened up, and now they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, the same God they used to walk with when they were at one, when there was perfect order. There was peace, right? They didn't know they were naked. There was no sin. Now all of a sudden they chose sin, and immediately what do you want to do? What do sinners like to do? Immediately it says they took fig leaves and are like, and they go hide amongst the trees. You don't want people to know. That's why they say everybody has, you know, deep, dark secrets in their life. There's things right now, all of us in this room, if public, you had to stand and say, hey, you know, tell some deep, dirty circuit, a secret in your life that nobody really knows, we'd be like, I ain't doing that. No, you're embarrassed of it because it's ridiculous. You're like, I was just 13. Yeah, I know. A ridiculous, stupid, fleshly, sinful 13-year-old. And without supervision, what do? Dumb stuff. It's exactly what you do. It's what I did. Because I'm human, right? The same thing you did. It says that they heard God's voice and they went and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Isn't it funny? The very thing that they thought they would exalt themselves above what God said. God clearly said something. And they thought they would exalt themselves over that. And you know what? I could be a God if I take this. God's holding back on me. And so they went ahead and did exactly what God said not to do. And so isn't it funny? They thought they would exalt themselves above God in their thinking. This was all a mind game here, by the way. There's a mind game going on. So they thought they'd exalt themselves above God in their thinking, and it left them hiding from God. I don't want to see God. I hear his voice walking in the cool of the day. And we would call this deep conviction. And I do not like it. We did exactly what he said we shouldn't do. And now we're in a bad spot, right? And so now they're in a hiding. And then I shouldn't have shut my Bible. And then check out what happens here. It says in verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said, hey, where art thou? It's a question that God likes to ask every human being. God knows exactly where you're at. But you know what most people can't do? They can't be honest about it. Where are you at? Where are you at? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. God wants to know where you're at. And they said, man, we were afraid and we went and hid. And God says, hey, by the way, in verse 11, who told thee that I was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And you know what the man did in verse 12? He does exactly what human beings do today. You got to find somebody to blame it on. We got to find something to blame this on. Because I wasn't raised so good. That's why I'm struggling with the sin issue in my life. My parents, you know, my dad did this. My mom did this. That's how I was raised. You got to have it, blame it on somebody else. Now we're at the point now where we got enough education and big words out there. We can blame it on the brain. Yeah, based upon my personality, based upon the DNA inside of me, and this is why I act out in this way. So we blame it on the brain. That's what a lot of people do. And I like it. It says, he's the woman, you know, you gave me. You know, God, you know, he's putting the blame on it. And finally, the Lord in verse 13, he says, man, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I ate. The serpent fooled me. He twisted my mind and got me to think differently than what you said. And guys, listen to me. This is the very first human interaction in the Bible. And look what happened. God said something. It's that simple. The enemy came along and said, that's really not true. And human beings thought, I'm going to ante up. I think there's more in it for me. And they go against what God said. So what was perfect peace and perfect order and had a real purpose? We're in Genesis chapter 3, and you can see clearly now it's chaos. It's chaos. The world is in chaos. And then, you know, then they got to watch. God wanted to cover their nakedness up. So it's the first death. God kills a lamb coming up in the story, kills a lamb and clothes them with some skins. Lamb and a blood had to be shed. It's a future picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who's going to shed his blood for you and me to cover our sins. Beautiful story. But all of a sudden, you're here you are as human beings. Life is perfect and life is at peace. You just named all the animals and they're your friends. And I guarantee you, this little spotless lamb was one that he named. And they knew, and they liked, and God says, the wages of sin is death. He dies.
and they had to watch bloodshed right in front of them. And you guys, and we just like read through this story. It's like a nightmare, man. It's like a nightmare because they know their heart's beating out of their chest, and now they didn't have any blood in their body till they sinned. They ate of that forbidden fruit, the grape. Blood flowed through their body. Like, life's crazy right now. They're trying to cover themselves up. God exposes them, so they come along. They're doing some business, and God's like, really? Really? I told you straight up, and they're like, I know what you said. But, you know, the enemy said, and he's subtle, man. He sold me on another bill of goods. And so I started thinking wrong. And I made the wrong decision. God's like, and then all of a sudden, you know, when the lambs grab, you know how it is. You ever grab an animal? You ever listen to what a rabbit sounds like when he's caught by a coyote? I just think of all the chaos in this story, because this is what life does. What once was peace in the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect, and the rivers flowing on all four sides of the garden. It was the perfect setup, and God and man together, and it was at peace. And all of a sudden, they're caught, they're exposed, they're standing together, like, this is not good, this is awful what's taking place. And then all of a sudden, God grabs this lamb, and you know what a lamb sounds like, right? When he gets grabbed like that, you grab him by his leg, and he's getting ready to give his life. And so just picture the story. It's a picture of the story where, like, it's what was once just peace and beautiful and God's sweet voice walking in the cool of the day. You got mankind sitting there knowing they've made a mistake and they're watching. And then all of a sudden, here's a lamb that was once named, and they drag him over. And all of a sudden, you're standing there. It's like a murder scene, man. You're standing there, and it's like chaos going on, and it's not good. And the Drug Enforcement Agency kicked down the door and come in. The baby's on the floor in the diaper. Kids are screaming. Mom's strung out over here. One guy's got his head with the sawed-off shotgun against the wall. And you're sitting back, and there's a little five-year-old girl in the middle of the room crying, going, ah, what? It's chaos, isn't it? In this situation, it's kind of similar, but instead you can hear that lamb screaming his high-pitched guts out until all the blood flowed out of him. And mankind's sitting there going, and all this chaos was caused because you just simply could not believe what I told you. It's what my word says. Guys, our life, our world is so messed up because people simply can't believe what the Creator said. That's what he said. I don't know if I believe that part. Well, then have, and you know what God says? Here's what God says. Well, then do it your way. God does that every time in the Bible. Romans 1:28. It says they did not like, if you want to go there, it's a beautiful verse. Romans 1:28 says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So the Bible says, so God gave them up to a reprobate mind. What kind of mind? Reprobate, castaway, garbage. If you don't like to retain God in your knowledge, God's so confident, God's like, then do it your way, pal. You ever go to IKEA and buy a cabinet, and it comes in a nice, slender little box, and you get home, and you just put all the pieces out, and you're just like, I remember the first one I put together at my old house, and I was like, my gosh, I'm usually pretty handy. I can see how things go and figure it out, you know. And man, halfway through, and then all of a sudden you realize you skipped a part, and it's here, but you got to take three more pieces apart, pull that panel off to get that piece in there. Before you know it, you're just like, my gosh. From the very beginning, I should have just opened the instruction manual and just followed the little pictures. And IKEA's not even very good at their little pictures either. But anyways, I should have just done that and saved myself a whole heap of trouble. And this is life for you and me. Romans 1:28 says, when people don't like to retain God in their knowledge, God will give you over to think the way you want to. And listen, gang. The word on the street. Here's the word on the street. That word reprobate means castaway. Like garbage. Like, it's not right. So anybody that does not like to retain God in their knowledge, you do not think correctly. I'm not saying your morals ain't in place. I'm not saying any of that. Now, the way I say it, the blue collar in me says it this way. Anybody who doesn't believe the Bible is just simply crazy. They're out of their mind. You're just not thinking correctly. Incorrect thinking. You mean like my mental health is not the best? That's exactly what the Bible says. It's true. It's that simple. I can't wait next week. I'm going to take you to some passages in the Old Testament because a lot of people just say, I can't help it. I got to do this and I got this behavior. I did this way. I'm telling you, I can't. And then parents go, he can't help it. He can't help it. That's just the way he is. And that's what they do. And they say these things and blame it. Wait till I show you some verses in the Bible. You're going to see in the Old Testament, God just says, oh, really? Is that the way you think of it? You're thinking incorrectly. Here's what the Bible says. God says, here's what I say. And guys, God gives us choice. So like, we don't have to think the way God thinks. But look at the world that doesn't think the way God thinks. And we look at, and you know what I see every time? Chaos. Woo! There's a bunch of chaos in that family. Holy night. Hey, I don't know about you, but I do my reading in the morning. Do you do your reading in the mornings? I read the church's reading every morning. It's the first thing I do. Some of you and I know do it at nighttime. It's no different today. Wait till you read the passage today. I don't care if you're in Revelation or Isaiah. Let's finish today. Let's finish this over in Isaiah chapter 43. I can go to Revelation 2, but I'll just talk Revelation. You'll get it. Like he said in Isaiah chapter 43, I just like at the very beginning of this. So check this out. We know from Genesis, life is broken. Does everybody see that? It was perfect and there was peace, but it's broken now. And it all was broken because somebody chose not to think what God thinks. They chose to think and pave their own way. And it led them in trouble. It led them reprobate, not thinking correctly. And so that's the beginning of the Bible. That's how it started. Now we here are, we're dealing with the nation, and now we're in the middle of the book of Isaiah. So now, hey guys, mankind separated from God, there's sin, there's chaos, it ain't perfect. You know, the enemy's always trying to twist what God says. So here's a group of people in Isaiah chapter 43, and look what it says in verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee. See, God's like, I'm your creator. I'm the one that formed you. Fear not. I've redeemed thee. Yeah, this is like, think of for you and me, the spotless lamb of God's our redemption for our salvation. I paid a price for you. And I love this because here's this broken world, this broken chaos that we live in. And God says this, man, I've redeemed you and I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Everybody's longing for this. The longing inside the heart of every person on the planet is this connection with the Creator. Don't fool yourself. Try to fill it with relationships. You can't take enough dope to fill that hole. It don't work that way. It's a redemption that can only be provided by the Creator. And for you and me, that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls me thy name and thou art chosen. You know, isn't it funny? People see, they'll look over and just see some girl and they're just like, oh yeah, she's wild. She's on this. She's done this. Here she is with this person. And what I like when people say this, you know, oh, she has daddy issues. Well guys, hey, I get that. And there is some truth to that, a dad in a home. I get all that. But as Christians, we got to go to the Bible and think a little deeper than that. She needs redeemed. She has God issues. She has an issue that's deeper than even a good father can provide. She has a spiritual void and hole in her life that men, children, money, Or he, I'm using a female's name right now. You know what I mean? Just human beings as a whole. That's why here he just says, there's one that's redeemed you. The Creator loved you and has chosen you. But when you can give somebody that, it's amazing to me to see. Guys, this is what our God does. You know, our God, and we're going to see this in the next couple of weeks. He specializes. And he don't take, oh, what a sweet little girl, never done anything wrong her whole life, and, you know, the apple of her dad's eye, and then she does this, and life is just beautiful. You know, that ain't really how it works. God specializes in taking somebody that's so far and broken and saying, she's a prostitute. And I redeemed her and filled the void in her life. And now, she's a saint. She's my child. She's chosen. Yeah, there's something in our humanness that wants to make our kids all perfect. Like, you know, we work. That's what we work, work, fix, 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 fix. No, the issues are a little deeper than that. We're born with these issues from Genesis. The chaos can only be fulfilled by this Redeemer, by this chosen one. I love the day's reading, by the way. Look at verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, look at this, I will be there. There's people, when you're struggling with your mental health, you're like, I'm drowning, man. And your addiction's got you, and you're like, the water's right here, and I'm drowning. I'm telling you, God's like, when you pass through the waters, I will be there. I'm telling you, the solution is not your addiction. The solution is the person of Jesus. When, through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, you will not be burnt. Some of us in this room, we have stories of sin burning us in our past. And I love your stories because you stand up and just say, oh, yeah. Not proud of it, but you know what? I stand today whole and complete in Christ Jesus. I am whole. I am mentally on top of it. I didn't say I was the smartest guy in the room. I was just like, my heart's good, man. Check it out. You won't be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I mean, you just keep going on. Look at verse 3. I am the Lord thy God. Guys, he's the Lord. This is his word. It's true what he says. Anybody that goes against it, no matter where your IQ's at, I don't care if she's a medical doctor. If she wants to cross the lines of this book, don't buy it. Don't buy it. This is not a blame it on the brain game. There's something deeper going on here in human beings. And you keep going down here. I like verse 5. He just says, my gosh, fear not. You know why? I'm with you. That's why you look at mental illness, like the top two mental illnesses, we all know it because we all struggle with it. Anxiety and depression, they're the top two. If you look at the stats and how many people deal with it. Anxiety and depression. A lot of anxiety is fueled by fear, right? And so, like right out the gate when God gets involved, he says, hey, fear not. Why? His presence. I'm with you. That's it. It's me. He's the ticket to this, to being mentally healthy if you struggle with anxiety. And some of us do. So I should say that's one that I don't particularly necessarily struggle with, but I would say I hear more people struggle. We all have these issues, right? Look at verse 8. I'm just jumping now. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Don't you like that? Because that's what it is. Human beings, you can see, but you're blind. You have ears and you can't hear. Guys, it's a different way of thinking. It's the correct way of thinking. It's the correct way of thinking. I love this whole chapter. I'm blowing time. Look down at verse 18. Hey, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Isn't that beautiful? How many people's past haunt them? Things you did, you're like, geez, I'd do that different if I could. Every time I go home, my mom has something to say and saying, yeah, I sure blew it there, didn't I? I'm like, yeah, but I'm whole and complete today. And mama, it's the credit don't go to you. It goes to the Redeemer, the Creator, the way he thinks. You weren't thinking straight back then. Nobody does, right? And so that way you can see, he says that the past will hold you back. And then look at verse 19. I love this. Behold, I will do a new thing. And it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God will take in the middle of the forest. You can't even see. He'll clear a path for you. That's what he says here. You'll be in the middle of the desert. And it's not a mirage. You're not going to run into a pool of water or a well. He says, I'll run a river through that desert of your life. This is what only our God can do. It's only what God can do. So gang, I think you can see now, I'm hoping I communicated today. I'm all over the place. I didn't have a real smooth outline today. Because I just wanted you to know that life is chaos. Everybody's in chaos. Ever since sin entered the planet, from the very beginning, Lucifer, it was chaos. And God says, I don't allow chaos in heaven. He's done, took a third of the angels. Now we're on planet Earth, and it's the playing field. And now the battle is here. We know what God said here. The question is, are we going to swallow it? And God says, you don't have to. You can think whatever way you want to. My brother's addiction was, he had many addictions, but the one that killed him was heroin. You know, there's people all the time that'll do drugs and they'll do dope, and it's crazy. And they have the freedom to do it. You can do whatever you want to do. You know, and I remember the first time in school, one of my friends, they took a bunch of acid before school, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden he walks in, and I look over at him, and he looks at me, and his eyes are wider than I've ever seen him. I said, "Dude, you're in trouble." He said, "Man, they're after me. They're going to get me." He was paranoid. Nobody was after him. He was having, and he had a bad trip. He's sitting there in class, and he's going, "Blake, I don't know what to do." I literally say, "Hey, dude, come on, let's go. You got to get out of school. You're going to get in deep trouble. It's going to be found out what you guys are doing before school." And he really believed somebody was after him. Wasn't that crazy? Yeah, he was crazy. He was out of his mind. Probably might not even remember the next day. I don't know. You know, there's people all the time. You look, and sometimes people will think, "My gosh, that lady jumped off a 6-story building and killed herself. Wasn't that terrible?" You know the sin behind it is? She was actually feeling really good. She didn't think she was going to die. She thought she could fly. She believed it in her heart. And she splatted at the bottom. Reality hit. God will let us think any way we want to. You'll just reap the consequences of that. That's what people say. I've had people even tell me, like, they'll disagree with even something I'll say, like, about parenting. "Oh, I disagree with that. We don't do that with our kids." And you know what I say? "Well, let's just wait till our kids get older." Because I'll tell you this much. I'm getting my mindset from the mind of God, from the Bible. I don't know what you're getting yours from. You know what it is, like most of us. We like a little psychology. Give me the brain sciences. Give me all of it and put it with the Bible. And we like to mix that together, don't we? We like to pick and choose. You know, we hit. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just a little bit more hardcore than that. I just want to encourage you today in our reading. Even read Revelation. You know Revelation 13 you're going to find? There's a beast. There's a beast that shows up. You got a beast. There's a dragon. And he's dominating. The whole world's going to worship him and go after him. And the Bible says this, "Who will make war with the beast?" He sucks everybody in and everybody worships him. It's this monster. And it takes you later on to keep reading the Bible and you'll find out, oh, there's one that'll make war with the beast. And the Bible says Jesus easily takes him down and casts him into the lake of fire forever and ever. But it said every nation in the whole world thought differently. They bowed at the feet of the beast. You know what mental health can be? We just all have some sort of beast in our life. People say that, like if they have an addiction, they'll just say, "Hey, that's my demon." You know what they're saying? "That's the dragon that's trying to whip me." Yeah, that's the beast in my life. Yeah, who's going to make war with him? There's only one that can whip him. All the nations worship him. There's only one. And guys, it's just as simple as that. He says, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life." Anything that thinks differently than this, you know what it is? It's a lie. It's not true. This is the truth. And I know people think, "You're extreme on this." Okay. You don't have to swallow it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Guys, I got a whole list of things. I can't wait to show you what the mind can do. Boy, how powerful it really is. Crazy. So, hey, let's do this today. I think you got the point of the message. The point of the message is this. Our life is chaos. That book's a book of order. God puts order here. And that's why if you watch people in chaos, you watch people making bad choices in life, you get in their car's trashed. You get in their house, it's trashed. My brother's the cleanest person on the planet. His wife even told me, she goes, "He cleans the house all the time. Every day he vacuums the house." I said, "Every day? Every day he vacuums the house." My brother's a clean freak. I knew he was in trouble the day. I haven't seen him for 3 years and I go into his house. It was filthy. When I went and visited him, he goes, "Hey man, no shower curtain. It was moldy in there, dirty." And he goes, "Hey man, you can have my bed." He said, "I'll just sleep in this chair." I go, and you know what his bed was? It was a dirty pool raft. He found it, got it at the Dollar General, blew up a pool raft, and that was his bed. I was like, wow. He was never like this. But the way he was thinking led him this way. And now he lives in chaos. It's not supposed to be that way. Our God is a God of order, man. And so that's what I'm hoping you can see through this, that a lot of this mental health, and mental illness is the extreme. I know people that are really struggle with it. And, hey, guys, and some people have some genetic problems, man. And some of you even have relatives that you're just like, yeah, they were totally had to get help, that have been locked up and in hospitals. And it took a lot. And, you know, and so that's in your DNA. So some of you are going to struggle more than others. And there's some people in this room that are, I can't believe people that would do drugs. That's ridiculous. How stupid do you got to be? And then the other half of us are going, I can totally understand it. But I'm just here to tell you, the way God thinks, it is the way of order. It's the way our culture needs this book, right? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep visiting it week after week here until we get this thing solved and say, here's what our God can do. He wants to bring order to this chaos. Because there was once order, but now it's chaos, right? So how's your life? How's your mind today? How is it? How's your family? What's your future like? Are you just surviving? You just hoping you can pay your cell phone bill on Tuesday? It's not how you're supposed to live. That's chaos. And I'm not saying prosperity. I am not saying prosperity, but I am saying joy. I'm saying peace. Are you at peace? I'm telling you, the way he thinks is the way I need to think. The way I think many a times is just not accurate. Ready to pray? Let's pray. Everybody bow your head. If anything today, I hope you're not like discouraged. If anything, I hope you're filled with hope that God has the answers in this book. We are going to pursue them. You know, social media, no, it does not have the answers. You know, I like, you know, what social media sells us, don't you? You got an online profile, right? Just because your online profile says your best friend, that's your best friend. We know the truth. That ain't your best friend. It just says that, don't it? That's crazy thinking, isn't it? Yeah. We all take pictures on Instagram and I post, yeah, here's my day at the park. Deep in my heart, if you want to ask me how it went down that day, it was not really a day in the park. It really wasn't that way. Like, we have this crazy desire in us to tell the world how happy we are. And deep down, we'd say, I'm not really that happy. You know, wow, our thinking's all messed up. Jesus, today, we're coming to you and submitting ourselves to you. Your word is true. God, we need to think the way that you think. And God, I'm thankful for redemption. I'm thankful that you have offered yourself to us, that we can meet you and then begin a process of renewing our mind. Brainwashing, that we can be clean and think totally different. God, I pray that we would shout your word out that and let people know that it is relevant today as much as it was the day that it entered our planet. Lord, we love you. I love this book. And Lord, I don't know what else to do in a culture that's jacked up. I do not know what else to do but just boldly and out loud proclaim what your word says about it. God, do your work. Do the miraculous in this room. In the Maple City Baptist Church. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.